Good evening, my friends. Glad you're here. Of course, it is Thursday evening, January 25th, 2007, about 1 minute past 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Ah, yes. What can I say, folks? Frankly Speaking Radio, as the week resumes, I'm very excited that obviously things seem to be working out really well so far. If I were a pessimist, I'd say, when's the other shoe going to drop? We got no technical difficulties thus far. Okay? My voice sounds better. I'm feeling better, although I didn't really feel that bad to begin with, just some congestion. But this week of carrot juice has certainly done wonders for me on many, many levels. So what the heck? What's going to happen next? You know, I used to be that way. I used to be that guy. Oh, everything's looking great. What's going to happen next? I can't enjoy the good things because, of course, inevitably they'll go away. They'll be taken away, whatever the case may be. I just can't live like that anymore, and I'm pretty excited about this, though. But, you know, it's easy to get into that mindset. You know, you can only get beaten on so many times before you start to wince when somebody makes a move. Anyway, hopefully that's not your state of being. Hopefully that's not going to be mine either. Anyway, it's a very exciting evening here at Frankly Speaking Radio, and I'm glad you're aboard. Welcome to all of those listening at 3.215 on the shortwave.
Suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Good evening, folks, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. I am thrilled that you're here. It is Monday evening, and that would be January 29th, 2007, about 8 minutes past the top of the hour. And I apologize for the technical difficulties, but we're all kind of finding our legs again here as we get back into the routine of a brand new week. And I'm glad that you're here because our special guest will be joining us here in just a second. First things first, though, let me remind you that you can listen to this broadcast on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Also, on AM and FM affiliates around the country, and I believe you can listen online at my website as well. Now, I talked to my webmaster, James, who is just a magic man with these types of things. I believe he said that there is a feed you can stream off of if that is how you prefer to listen. That website is www.franklyspeakingradio.com. Our call-in number, if you would like to weigh in with your thoughts, share your feelings, or whatever the case may be, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Now, our special guest this evening has done several interviews with me over the years, actually probably more than that, and I actually heard him on another show a long time ago, and I was blown away. I happened to be in transit, driving somewhere across the country in the wee hours of the morning. I did hear my guest, and I was blown away, not just by his information, but also by the man's ability to tell a story. I knew his book would be fantastic, and it is. And also really, really blown away by his passion and what he's done in this incredible book. What we're talking about is the book entitled Waiting for Agnes, and it is inspired by the true story of a place called Coral Castle. Some of you may have been there. Some of you may have heard of it. If you have not, I guarantee you this is going to perhaps inspire you to make a trip down to Florida and see this thing, which probably one of the greatest and most well-hidden secrets here in America. It's really an astounding story. And without further ado, let me introduce our guest, a great friend of mine over the years, and certainly I consider him a brother. His name is Joe Bullard. Joe, welcome to the program, sir.
Frank, thank you, man. Congratulations on the new show.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for being a part of it.
Hey, and thanks for that great introduction. It makes me want to buy the book.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I was surfing around today, and I said, well, let's just click over to Amazon and see what Joe's books are going for. I saw four available. Okay, the cheapest price was $100, right. And the top price was $150. And I know that they tend to go for more on occasion, and rarely do they go for less unless people buy from you.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, God just takes care of the weak and the struggling like me, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, I've just been totally blessed. And let me tell you, people like you keep this thing going because, you know, word of mouth is all I've got. I'm not with the big guys or anything, and so it's a pleasure to come into your home state there in Arkansas. And in fact, there's a girl there named Amanda Flaherty. I meant to call her and tell her I was doing your show tonight. She's working at the University of Arkansas. She actually helped, and I'll talk to you about this later. In fact, I don't even mind saying it. I've been working and just finished a screenplay, and she actually edited it for me. She's a good writer. Yeah, and so that's something we got in the fire there. So
this, and I think everyone would agree, this anyone who's ever heard this story or certainly read your book, in the style that it's written, it is truly an amazing tale that you just can't put the book down. And I noticed that the first time I started reading it, and it's just captivating. And this would make an amazing film, but only I think if you know you were behind it, you know, if you were to put it out. In the same vein, in the same theme as the way the book is written.
Well, that's what I tried to do. I tried to, you know, you look at all kinds of things, and basically I'm just kind of a simple farm boy, and I you know, the same way Ed is. You know, he was just a wonderful, you know, farmer, the guy of the land and the earth. And, you know, one of my favorite shows, and we talked about this many times, is Andy Griffith. And so, you know, when I was doing this book, Frank, I was thinking, well, you know, how do you kind of try to find your voice when you're starting to do this? And I thought, you know, a guy passed on something to me I never forgot. He said, write it like you talk. And I said, like I talk? I talk terrible. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, just spit the words out, and whatever falls on the paper, let it ride.
There you go.
And I thought, he said, you know, why do you love Andy Griffith so much? He said, because it's not scripted, it's from your heart. And so that's how I wrote it. And it does have the, and I thank you for that. It's a simple style, and it's just kind of like an old homespun story. But that's what made me comfortable with it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, it's a fantastic story, and we should probably contextualize it with a little background. Tell us when you first heard of Coral Castle and why that sort of resonated with you.
What was going on with me, Frank? I had just taken a job at a college here in Lake City. I was doing the information services. And I had always studied the pyramids since I was a kid. I don't know why they fascinated me. I'm the kind of person, if I see a piece of wood or stone or, you know, metal or something, I kind of tap it with my fingers and listen to the sound. I don't know why I do that. But stone fascinates me. In fact, I'm going to get up there one day and just lay on that Arkansas stone and chew on it. I know it's kind of gritty, but that stuff fascinates me.
Yeah.
And anything in stone, I just love. So I saw the old In Search Of program with Leonard Nimoy, and this was 1984. I think the film came out in 78. It was an old film. But here I have, Frank, all my life lived in Florida, and here's Coral Castle. The story comes on, and with, you know, Mr. Spock narrating it, I mean, that was as good as Rod Serling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the program, and I thought, there is no way that something like that exists in Florida. I've been here all my life, born and raised here, yeah, and don't know about it. Why is it the man in history books? So anyway, long story short, I jumped in my car the next weekend, drove about 8 hours. I live up in North Florida near the Georgia border, so I had to drive 8 hours. I drove 8 hours, and when I got out, Frank, got out of the car, I'm tired, and when I stopped at the front of this place and looked at it up, and I'm a child of the 50s, and, you know, there was nothing like sitting around on a Friday night eating popcorn, watching Rod Serling in the Twilight Zone with that freaky music, you know, and it was just something that, you know, you could always count on the show for being weird and spooky.
Yeah.
And when I saw this castle sitting there, you could just see Rod Serling step around the corner and go, well, Joe, you're not going to believe this place, but it's for real. And when I stepped inside there, Frank, and when you see these 8-foot-high walls and this coral now, it used to be white. Now it's sort of a gray. You get the feeling you're on the moon. You just, I don't know, there's a strange environment and atmosphere there. And when I got done with the tour, I said to myself, I looked in the museum. There's a few little books written on his life, but nothing really in depth on it. And I said, you know, if I'm ever going to do anything, this is going to be the story. And I didn't really start out to write a book. I just was so carried away. And on my next trip, I actually went down, and we'll get into this as we get in the story, but I stopped at an old gas station, and the fellow leaving the gas station was like 90 years old. And as he was walking away, I said, sir, you know, I'm here to do a story on Coral Castle. Can you tell me something about it? And Frank, you know, my name is Joe Bullard, and his name was J.T. Bullard, and his name was written over the front of the gas station. He looked at me funny, and he said, well, son, I used to sell Ed milk, sardines, and all. And I said, what? So we sat down, Frank, for about a three-hour interview, the only time I ever got to talk to Mr. Bullard, and that's where I got a lot of the information for the book. And he was able to tell me that, you know, to this day, no one has been able to figure out, you know, there's two theories. There's a levitation theory, and there's a theory that he moved it with block and tackle, you know. And, you know, you get involved with engineers who tell you, you know, yes, he can do it with ropes and pulleys. Other people say, no, you got to levitate it, and the debate is wonderful. And that place is sitting there. And one of the reasons, Frank, it gets ignored, it's right on, if you're driving to Key West, Coral Castle's on the right as you come into Homestead. But the problem is it's hidden by these 8-foot walls. And you think it's just this little cheesy tourist stop. They're out to take your money. And you never, people drive by it, but they don't go in it because you can't really see anything.
Yeah.
And that's really, I told someone, if you go in those Mayan jungles and pull away the vines, this is Coral Castle. It's just covered up by walls, not vines.
Mm.
And people go by it every day. And in fact, there's a Pizza Hut across the street, Frank. I went there one day, and I'm eating lunch, and I said, what do y'all think about the Coral Castle across the street? And they said, what is it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a tragedy.
What is it?
Right across the street.
Right across the street. And they say, you know, I drove by the place, and I always wondered what was in there. I'm like, oh, my God.
And I'm content to be ignorant forever. That's amazing. Well, you know, and I guess I can understand it. We have this place, and I don't mean to disparage my my local area, but there's this place, and it's about 40 miles from where I am now. It's called Quigley's Castle. And what this is, and if the Quigleys happen to be listening, and if I screw up the story, I apologize. You're welcome to call in and correct me. But here's the way I understand it. There was a guy, and he bought this home for his wife, and then he went away somewhere. I don't know if he was in the service or whatnot, but he went away for a long time. And I guess, you know, she got lonely and bored and decided that she was going to redecorate, quote-unquote. So what she did was that she ripped out the floor, and she went out in the backyard and collected a bunch of crap and then cemented it to the outside of this thing, and they call it a castle. And it's and I don't even know how much it costs to go there because I read the story, and I ain't going there and giving them my hard-earned cash. So, you know, but that is a tourist trap. And then we're all familiar with, you know, the ones like come see the mystery spot and ridiculous things like that. So, you know, unfortunately, I guess Coral Castle is suffering from guilt by association, I suppose.
And really, you know, it's funny that you mention that because that fits exactly what I was just going to say. And I just found this out the other day. I don't know why I never heard it, but I was talking to a fellow down there, and he said, Ed told a friend of his, he said, you know, I'm going to, well, they were asking him about, you know, why I was doing it and what he was doing. And he said, when I get done with this, he said, nobody's going to pick your pocket when you come in here. This is for real. You know, it's not a, you know, like you say, one of those weird things where they rip you off and everything.
He said,
this is going to be genuine, and I want people to know it's real. And I thought, boy, he had the right heart, and what he did was he backed his words up.
That's amazing. You know, this is a perfect place to pause here, my friend. We have a commercial break coming up. I would like to direct people to your website. Folks, that should be accessible through my website at franklyspeakingradio.com, but it's very easy to get to www.waitingforagnes.com. And we're right back with the author of the book, Waiting for Agnes, the great Joe Bullard. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself,
or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Love come quick, love come in a hurry. There are thieves in the temple tonight. They don't care where they kick.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here with us this evening. We are chatting with an amazing storyteller, probably one of the last. And it's really tragic because there's nothing quite like sitting down, relaxing, kicking back, and just having your mind blown, you know, by an amazing storyteller. And that's what we have with us here this evening. A true story, the story of the guy who built Coral Castle. And we're chatting with the author of the book, Waiting for Agnes, and the website, www.waitingforagnes.com. Please welcome back Joe Buller. Joe, thanks again.
Thank you, Frank.
I apologize for being on the phone here. We are in the midst of some technical difficulties, but it'll just be like we're talking at home, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here sipping a cup of tea and just thinking, man, this is great, like a fireside chat.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I guess we better tell the folks about a little bit about Coral Castle. We're talking about it as
yeah.
a lot of new listeners tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the story of Coral Castle begins in Latvia, Frank. And, you know, Latvia is a small, it's one of the Baltic states. There's Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and they border the Soviet Union, Russia there. And in 1912, Ed was 26 years old. Now, Ed was kind of sickly as a child. He kind of had like pneumonia symptoms. He was kind of frail and sickly. When he was fully grown as an adult, he was only 5 feet tall, weighed about 9,500 pounds, depending on, you know, the time of the year. So he was never that strong, really, physically. And a lot of times he was sick and missed school. And very bright, very intelligent, but he got bored with school, couldn't go to school a lot of times. So he dropped out in the fourth grade. And so as he was growing up, he wasn't able to kind of be social like a lot of the children were. And so he didn't get to really play around girls and date that much. But when he was 26, he just fell madly in love with this girl. She was 16 years old. Her name was Agnes Scuffs. Frank, the problem with this story, as far as Ed and Agnes's relationship, Latvia was a faraway place. And as I was researching this, I didn't really have time to and the money to go visit it. But I talked to a lot of people who kind of knew that area. In fact, I bumped into some of them down there as I was doing research, and they said, well, so much time has passed, you probably can't find that much anyway, so just take the rumors that you've got here in Coral Castle and Homestead and, you know, kind of weave it from that. So that's kind of what I did. And the story supposedly goes that, Ed used to tell the story that she said he was older, too much older than her, and too poor, and that's why she didn't marry him. So I'm not really sure. He told several people there that she really never gave him an explanation for why she jilted him, and that's one of the things that bothered him. But as he was telling the story, giving the tour, he always told that story. So it's not that he was a liar, Frank. It's just that sometimes he told two different stories when he was given a tour and then when he was off giving a tour. It's kind of like his stage persona. So we don't really know the exact reasons why she jilted him. But the night before the wedding, she didn't really... Some folks have said that there was actually a church wedding there. Everybody was waiting, and that he went to the altar, and she never came. There was other people who said no. She sent her cousin by that night to his castle there in Latvia and to tell him that she couldn't marry him. So can't really tell what happened, but the long story is she did jilt him the night before the wedding, and this really devastated him. He never, ever really, I don't think, recovered from it as far as, he did emotionally, but he was never able to connect with another person. That was the one love of his life. And as he went through life, he kept telling people, well, you know, and that's where the title of the book comes from, I'm waiting for Agnes to come and marry me at Coral Castle. So he had to leave Latvia. This was 1912. He left Latvia, traveled to Canada, worked in a lumber camp. About 1918, he was tired of that, and he started developing some coughing symptoms. So he came to Florida. Well, when he landed in Florida, Frank, it was at night, and there was a real estate guy driving around showing some people, you know, it was about dusk there. And anyway, they ran into this fellow on the road. Ed was passed out in the road there. Well, then when they found him, they loaded him in the car. He was unconscious. Come to find out, the doctor looked at him the next day and said, my friend, this was 1918 now. He said, you have tuberculosis. You have 4 to 6 months to live. I don't even know how you're still living. See, Frank, in 1918, there was no cure for tuberculosis. When you got it, you know, they quarantined you, and you were just dead. So the people who took him in were very kind, because most people would have just said, hey, you know, get out of here. But yeah. They took him back to their farmhouse, and they gave him hot soup, and he got his strength back a little bit. And so, they told him, they said, you know, you got 6 months to live, so you better do what you want to do. And he said, well, I'd like to have a piece of land. And so the guy said, well, why would you want land? You only got 6 months to live. And he said, well, you know, the last 6 months of my life, I'll enjoy a piece of land. So they felt sorry for him. So as he went around looking for land, he never could find what he wanted. One day he came running back to his friend, and he said, I found the piece of land I wanted. Let me show it to you. So they went out, and the guy laughed, and Ed said, what is it? And he said, this is the worst piece of land in Florida. And Ed said, what do you mean? And he said, well, there's coral stone here that goes down 4,000 feet. There's no topsoil. You know, you can't grow anything unless you want to farm rocks. And Ed kind of grinned. He said, well, that's what I want to do. And the guy said, he thought he was joking. Hmm. So anyway, he went to the man. The man gave him the land. He said, son, that land's no good, you know. So long story short, the man and his wife came back about 3 weeks later. The man who owned the land said, wanting to know what he's doing with it. Well, when they came upon him, Frank, there was Ed. He had no shirt on. And just his pants and suspenders, kind of. And there was a 10-ton block of coral stone hanging from a tripod, you know, with a chain. I see we got to take a break.
Yes, we do. Good ears, my friend, and a great story, folks. You're in for quite a treat here this evening. Joe Bullard, our guest. The book is Waiting for Agnes, the website waitingforagnes.com. And we're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
I'm glad you're here. Very exciting evening for me because we get to chat with a good friend of mine who, as I mentioned to you, has just written an incredible book, which I believe author Joe Bullard, welcome back. People can still buy this book from you, correct?
You there, Frank?
Yes, sir.
The paperback is out now, and if they go to the website, it's going to be an old one. That was the hardback, and it sold out.
Okay.
New one is the soft cover, and it's $19, $4 to ship it, so it's a total of $23.
Oh, wow.
And it's available right from me. I'll even give up my phone number right now. It's area code 386-752-1059. If you missed that, it's 386-752-1059.
That's fantastic. Takes a gutsy man to give out his home phone number.
Well, you know what? Everybody told me I was crazy, but you know what? That's the way I meet people, and you know, that's the way I am. And, you know, you get a few crank calls, but most 99% of them are good, and you know, they're readers and they're interested in the story, and you know, hey, puts a little venture, puts you, you know, living on the edge a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
Frank, I was back to the, in fact, I got a little ahead of myself. I start telling this thing, I get kind of carried away. I forgot now, before Ed got on that land, he went around with a divining rod, the old witching rod, you know, where you cut the stick and you look for water, okay? That was very important to the story. The land that he had, that he found, when he kept looking for it and couldn't find the right piece of land, he was looking for land that had water on it, okay? When he found it, he would, this was what's funny, he would take these little pegs and stick them in the ground where the lines of the water came, okay? And this is kind of important to the story as we tell it. And before, as they were looking at the land, he told the man, he said, well, I'm going to need some tools to work my land. And he said, but the tools I need, you can't buy. He said, I need to make my own. Is there a junkyard around here? The guy looked at him kind of funny. He said, you're going to make your own tools? And he said, yeah. So he took him to the junkyard, and then after that, 3 weeks later, they come back, and here's this 10-ton stone hanging in this tripod. And so they started kind of, in fact, they used to call him Crazy Ed when he was riding around on his bicycle looking for this land because, you know, he kept couldn't figure out what he wanted. And of course, after they saw him hang this 10-ton block of coral, they thought, well, maybe this guy's not so crazy after all. So this is the beginning of where Coral Castle takes place. Now, this is in Florida City. Florida City and Homestead are 10 miles apart, and they're about a 45-minute drive south of Miami. So they would be in between the Keys and Miami, but right in the middle there. It's right at the edge of the Florida Everglades. And a lot of people, one of the questions is, you know, why does a guy come from Latvia, come to the edge of the Florida Everglades and start putting this thing together? So as he starts building this castle, he starts lifting these stones and cutting them. Well, now, when I tell you, the best way I can describe how this coral is, Frank, coral is very fragile. Man, it'll cut you so quickly. Anybody's ever dived or anything or gotten, you see coral for sale in the store. If you brush up against it, it'll cut you. And yet, you can tap it with a hammer and it will break. So you have to be very careful with it. But the best way to describe it, if you ever make those marshmallow treat cookies with the Rice Krispies, you know, you put them in the pan and you flatten them out and then you cut them. Okay, well, that side cut that you see there, if you're to turn it up upright, if you were to make a column out of it, that's exactly what that coral looks like.
Ah.
And it is so perfectly cut, it looks like it was cut with a laser beam. And that's what people, one of the mysteries is, okay, for number one, let's say you've got that pan of cookies there that you're trying to cut it out. Now, you're in the center of the pan. Now, how are you going to cut that block out? How are you going to dig under it? How are you going to get the chains? If you're going to do a hoist and lift, you got to get your chains underneath it, right?
Right.
So you got to get the chains underneath it to even lift it up. Okay, so I'm throwing some of the difficulties out there in trying to build this. So he goes out there and he starts cutting these blocks. Well, everybody's kind of like, what is that weird foreigner from Latvia doing out there, you know, farming rocks?
Mm-hmm.
So now here's the thing about Ed. He would only work from midnight till 6 in the morning, okay? Nobody could ever catch him at work. Of course, you know, they're farmers, people in bed by 8, 9 o'clock at night. So Ed's just getting started. So they're thinking, this guy's strange. So they started trying to catch him at work. So they would wait till he came out of his little place there and start working at midnight. And, Frank, this is no lie, and people will tell you this is documented. He had a sixth sense. He would know when someone was out there. And this is what he would do. He'd walk out there, and he'd be working, and all of a sudden he would stop, and he would look up. And as he was building the castle, he'd actually have the walls up. He would step up above the wall, and he'd look out. Of course, now it's pitch black, dark, and there's woods. And he would call out. He'd sit on the top, and he'd call out, and he'd say, how are you doing tonight? He said, nice night, isn't it? He said, now, look, guys, I can't go to work, you know, because you guys make me nervous. I don't like anybody watching me work. So I'm not going to go back to work until you guys leave, okay? And he'd start whistling a tune or singing a song, and people out there would go, now, Frank, they might have low-crawled like an alligator for 100 yards up to this place. There's no way he heard them. And so they're going, and it spooked them, it scared them. They said, how did he know we were here? And now that is one mystery that has never been solved. He never explained it. He just kind of said, I can feel people's presence. You know, like when people, you know, stare at the back of your neck and they're behind you and you don't hear them, but you just whip around and you know they're there. He said, that's what I have that ability. So anyway, these people are trying to catch him at night. And of course, he's always nice about it, but he just never lets them see how he works. So he puts this castle together in Florida City. Okay, this is about he starts at 1918. I'd say this is about 1936 when he gets the first part of it finished. Now, these stones, Frank, the average weight of the Great Pyramid, the stones in the Great Pyramid weigh 6 tons. Now, that's just an average weight. There's some that weigh 70 tons,
yeah.
But the average weight is three. The stones at Coral Castle weigh 6 tons average.
Wow.
So that's twice as much. Now, numbers meant a lot to Ed. He was a mathematical genius, a scientist. And so everything that has to do with numbers, and there's a reason for every number and every stone in that castle, okay? If he knew, and people would ask him, well, Ed, how do you know how to do this? And he would always say, well, I understand the ancient Egyptians and all the stuff, how they did this, and I know how they, you know, their secret. And so when he was doing this, Frank, the purpose was he purposefully made these blocks 6 tons so that if you really paid attention to what he was doing, he made them twice as heavy as the Great Pyramid. What he was saying to you is, look, buddy, if I can make a stone twice as heavy as the Great Pyramid, then I know what I'm talking about. He never bragged about his work, Frank. His bragging was in the stones themselves, okay? So those stones, each one of them, as he was putting them up, he had a little story to go with each stone. So about 1936, now, as he's living in his castle, he's got a few friends, but he starts giving tours of the castle. And he makes a dime on each tour, and he put a little money in his pocket. And people are always saying, well, how did he make a living? Well, there were some stories that he had a little stock and electric company there, and he farmed. He had a little farm thing there, and he would trap rabbits, and he had his own well there. Now, he dug down 6 feet into that solid coral where he hit a stream of water, and the water would fill up in his well there, and he'd store his food in the jars, and it was like an air conditioner and like a refrigerator, if you will. And he'd go down there and keep his food. And so about 1936, he invented what we call a magnetic generator. Now, this gets kind of complicated, but what it is, it's magnets chasing magnets. And it's about the size of a tire, a car tire or a truck wheel. And you spin it with a handle like you used to crank the old trucks and cars in 1918. And Ed said the key to life and the cosmic power, the cosmic force of the universe is magnets. Okay, and he said they control our body. He said we are a magnetic. We're not electric. We're magnet. He said electricity is not the right word. He said magnets running north and south, chasing each other, is what runs the universe. It's what gravity is. That was his whole thing. So 1936, he's got this little magnetic generator. He's running his radio experiments with it. He's got a few lights hooked up to it. Everything he does is with this generator. Well, he applies to the government, Frank, for a patent on this thing. And so he didn't hear anything back for a while. And so the government then sends him a letter and says, hey, you know, this is kind of shady looking. We need to this. You need to send that. And anyway, they started giving him the runaround. And he just kept sending all the forms in, but they never would give him a patent.
Right.
So he got kind of frustrated. Well, one day, they say a group of thugs. Some say it was one guy. But anyway, a guy came to him one night, and they just beat the heck out of him, almost killed him. And now the old timers say, some say he was trying, they always used to say there was a treasure buried in Coral Castle. And Ed never had any money, but there was always the rumor that he had treasure there. Some people say that the government was trying to beat the secrets out of him for the secret, because this was about the time war was looking strong in World War II.
Yeah.
And Ed, if anybody could power something without gasoline, of course, this would have been wonderful. But Ed, in fact, the government sent three different agents three different times to try to get him to tell them his secrets, and Ed never would do it.
Wow.
And so they think the government agents got mad, sent a guy in there to beat him up, and hoping he would reveal the secret, but he wouldn't. And so this was 1936. Now, the castle is built in Florida City. Well, after he recovers from
Let me jump in here with a question. Now, how long did it take him to construct the castle?
Okay, total was about 22 years.
Okay.
From 1918 to 1940.
Okay.
22 years.
Now this is intriguing because, again, as you had mentioned, you know, this is one guy doing it all by himself, maximum only 6 hours a night, and when interruptions, you know, he would stop when he was interrupted. So he did this all by himself, and nobody ever saw him doing any of this stuff. officially. There are, you know, some rumors and whatnot, which we'll get into. But,
right.
But I mean, this is really an amazing thing, because I'll tell you this, Joe, that if I were to try to build, I don't know, a conventional home, even a tiny, or even a shed in the backyard, it would probably take me 22 years. By myself, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking, like I said, the heaviest stone there weighs 30 tons.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah, and so what he does is he's, and like I said, in 1936, he's built the castle, but these guys beat him up, and so for some reason, now there's two or three different theories here, but what he does is, and this is amazing, he calls a friend of his up and he says, "Bring your tractor and your trailer tomorrow. I have some work I want you to do." And the guy said, "Okay." So the guy comes up with the tractor and trailer. They eat breakfast. And now the castle's almost finished, Frank, 1936. We're talking about 1,100 tons of coral cut, lifted, and sculpted, okay? 1,100 tons. And he looks at the guy and he says, "We're going to move each one of these stones." Now, you've got to build, he's got the walls up around it, and he's got the moonstones, the planets, different rocking chairs and everything. The rocking chairs weigh 1 ton. And he says, "We're going to move each stone on your trailer to a new place in Homestead that I just bought." And the guy said, "What?" And he said, "You're going to put the stones on the trailer and move them." And Ed said, "That's right." And the guy said, "That's impossible." And Ed said, "Tell you what," he said, "back the trailer up there, and you come back in an hour, and I'll have it loaded with the first load." The guy thought, "This guy's nuts." So he backs the trailer up, Frank, to this, like, it's like a crescent moonstone. It's on the cover of the book.
Yeah.
It weighs 28 tons, I think. And so the guy goes around the corner. Ed says, "Go around the corner there. Just don't bother me while I'm trying to work." So the guy smokes a cigarette, and he gets kind of nervous and bored. He thinks, "I got to see what this guy's doing." So he gets on his hands and knees and dog walks around the corner thinking he's going to surprise him.
Yeah.
And as he comes around the corner, Ed's behind him, and the guy's looking around the corner, and Ed just goes, I think his name was Bill, and he said, "Hey, Bill," you know, scared the mess out of him. And the guy jumped up, and Ed said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I just wanted to see if you were done." And Ed said, "Yeah, it's loaded. Let's go." So the guy walks over there, Frank, and there's three pieces of stones averaging about 8-9 tons each.
Oh, my.
Loaded on the trailer. So they truck these things down.
Well, let me jump in here. So this is he loaded, you know, 25 to 30 tons of stone in the time that a guy smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, about 30 minutes. Now,
wow,
let me qualify one thing here that I can't be absolutely sure on. There's rumors, and the reason I say this, there's two stories. There's stories that he could do it in 30 minutes. There's also people down there who said no. You know how people get stories mixed up? They said it took 3 days to get this thing loaded, which even if it took 3 days, you're still talking an amazing process.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell people there's two different theories. I'm not trying to promote one or the other. But so one guy will tell you 30 minutes, one guy will tell you 3 days. But they moved each stone. Now, it took him over a year. And you can imagine, they're going right down Homestead, right down the main drag there, 301, to Homestead. And they're these weird-looking, and Ed wrote on the back there, on the stones, as they went down there. And all the people would come out of the streets, you know, you'd be getting a haircut, and he look up, and here comes this 30-ton stone coming down the street, you know. And you're going, "Oh, my God." So you walk out there and go, "What's going on?" So, of course, he had a crowd. By the time he got moved to Homestead, everybody was like, you know, the talk of the town was like, "What is this guy doing?" You know, I mean, there were all these rumors that, you know, he was a witch or he was from Mars or, you know, you got to remember 1918, small town. So he gets the castle. He starts rebuilding it in Homestead there, and he starts giving tours of the castle. Well, people would say, "Well, why did you build this castle?" And then he would tell them the story of Agnes and how they got jilted, and he would say, he'd kind of get melancholy, and he'd kind of look out across the ocean, and he'd say, towards Lotby, and he'd say, "Well, one day my sweet 16 is coming here to marry me." And he said, "Until she does," he said, "I'm waiting for Agnes." So everybody thought, "Oh, that's a cool story and everything." And then later on, you know, I'll be telling somebody that story, and they'll think, "Well, you know, did Agnes ever come?" And I said, "Well, you know, I hate to give you the end of the story, you know, but I mean, if you insist, I mean, I'll tell you." I'll say, "No, she did not come." And they'll say, "Didn't he say, you know, he waited for her all his life?" And I said, "That's correct." And I said, "Well, wasn't he kind of dumb waiting on her?" And I said, "Well, if you really study his life, here's what he had to do." And the reason I'm telling you the story at this point is after he was beaten up by the thugs, he didn't concoct the story, but he concentrated more. If he was going to get his scientific work done, he had to throw people off from the magnet machine and all the stuff that he was doing,
right,
because he realized it was dangerous. So if he told a love story, then people didn't see him as a threat.
I see. They just thought he was a crazy, eccentric guy.
And you'll have people to this day say, I've heard him walk out of the tour, and they'll say, well, he was the biggest idiot in the world to wait on that woman all his life. I don't even want to see this thing. And I'm thinking, you know, please, you've got to give the man a chance. He was smarter than that. Of course he knew she wasn't coming. But as he kept telling that story, that's what he stuck to.
That's amazing. And he had other things, too, other machines and things that would really astound people, including one that perhaps cured him of tuberculosis. So
oh, yeah. We got to get to that.
Yeah, we will do so, my friend. Folks, stay with us. We are back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
And welcome, my friends. You are listening to Monday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio, at least Monday for another few minutes here in the Central Time Zone. Our special guest this evening is the author of the book Waiting for Agnes, I would call him probably the greatest source of knowledge about the Coral Castle and the story behind it of anybody else. But then again, you know, he may disagree, but who cares? It's my show. Joe, welcome back.
Sounds good to me, Frank.
Well,
thank you.
I, you know, and that's the amazing thing, you know, for those who have never heard our shows together. I'd been seeking out information on this Coral Castle when I'd first heard of it, and I don't recall how I had heard of it, except that I was just blown away by what I'd seen. And we'll talk about, you know, the visual representations of what it looked like inside Coral Castle and how this this really held up. And you have some great photographs on your site, too, which is waitingforagnes.com. But, you know, I'd contacted the people there and you know, the official, you know, Coral Castle place. And I had one of the tour guides on the show a long time ago. And what an incredible disappointment, because they didn't know anything. And they didn't seem to be passionate about it. They didn't seem to really care too much about the backstory. It was kind of like, you know, as if they had just stumbled upon this place, knowing nothing about it, and just said, yeah, right here we got a rock, and it's got a moon on it. You know, and it was just really weak. I was disappointed.
Yeah, and I think, Frank, it's just like anything else. When you do something, that's the difference when you love it and when you're just there.
Yeah, that's true.
And unfortunately, for me, I guess I'm that kind of person. When I do something, I get obsessed with it. And, you know, and that's what it took for Ed to build that place. And in fact, we were taking a break there, and you said, yeah, we better talk about how he cured himself. I forgot to tell him about how he did the tuberculosis thing. You know this story better than I do.
Only from you, though.
In the future, you'll just punch it up, and I'll just go, yes, Frank. The robot, and you'll tell the story.
That would be no fun for the listeners, I think, but I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, let me say it then. Thank you for keeping me on track on that. What he did was he goes back. I have to backtrack on the story here. He goes back after the 6 months. You know, the doctor told him, in fact, the medical report is still down at the museum. There's a little museum there in Coral Castle now, and they have all the artifacts there. And inside there is the doctor's report on his tuberculosis. And in fact, he kind of put little quotation marks about it around it, and he said his body is eaten up with tuberculosis.
Wow.
That was how he described it.
Did they give him an estimated time to live?
Yeah, 4 to 6 months.
Wow.
He had 4 to 6 months, and that's what everybody was thinking. Well, you know, why, if you got 4 to 6 months to live, why are you bothering, you know, building this castle, this land, and all stuff? Well, Ed knew. And what he did, Frank, was one of the stones that he cut out. Now, this weighs 3 tons. You know, like when you're a kid, you're playing on a merry-go-round?
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally round stone, and he even carved pillows. Now, this is coral again. You got to remember, coral's jagged. Now, think about this. Remember the analogy of the crispy cookies, the Rice Krispie cookies. There's beds, chairs, and this couch, this sun couch that he called it, he laid on. Frank, this coral is smooth as perfectly as those Rice Krispie cookies.
Wow.
You can sit on it, lay on it, rock the chairs, and you don't get cut, you don't get hurt. And so, you know, they think, well, how did he cut these things so that, you know, you can do it? And that's still one of the mysteries there. So anyway, he puts these pillows, puts 3 pillows, like north, south, and east and west on it. We got to go again?
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay. We have to pause here,
quick.
Folks.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's such an amazing story. We're going to hold Joe over here next hour, folks, and he's graciously given us some time with him tonight. And we'll have time for your phone calls as well. Remember our number, 800-313-9443. With quick pause here for station identification for our affiliates. Please stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio in about 90 seconds.
Attention, friends of...